number one thing, and I asked several people here tonight, when you think of a psychopath, what do you think? First word that comes to mind? Crazy. Psychopaths are not crazy. They tend to be very, very smart. The number one thing about a psychopath, they have no conscience. So if you have no conscience, but everybody likes to have money, right? So what would you do to get people's money if you have no conscience? I'm going to say that a disproportionate amount of these people, 49% of society, well, I'm saying a disproportionate amount, wind up as lawyers or working in the CS because they can screw you and they don't think twice about it because they genuinely don't have a conscience. So, like in my case, Psycho, now we know has 11 known aliases. She could have more. She's got over $1 million of fraud against dozens of victims that I've got posted on my website. Police won't do anything about it because that'll stir up too many problems for them. So, and to give you an idea, so I actually sued the police, and we settled out of court because I had overwhelming evidence against them. And unfortunately, my lawyer wouldn't take it to trial. And the year and a bit, or year and a half that my lawyer represented me, he did not go to court once. Not once. Everything was done by courier, blah, blah, blah. And he used the media as a tool to basically squeeze the vice on him. And right now, I'll be in court on March 14th with the Children's Aid Society, and they hate me as well. But, oh, and I forgot the part about my kids, which is almost irrelevant because they're not a part of my life. It took me 6.5 years to find my kids, and how did I do it? I did it without a lawyer. I got court orders to obtain, in 2008, court orders to obtain the York Region Police records and the York Region Children's Aid Society records. I just went in and told the truth. I know it's a novel concept in a courtroom, but it actually can happen.
You had custody, right?
And I had full custody on paper and the police. So this is 2008, May 20, 2008. Bear in mind, there's a Canada-wide warrant for my Psycho's arrest, but the cops for years can't find her. But when I sued the cops in 2005, what comes out once I got their records? They countersued her at her doorstep under her alias in Nova Scotia, where they knew she was all along and had been lying for years. So, and it gets better, because how the heck did she wind up in Nova Scotia? Oh, well, I got the CAS records as well. And some wonderful quotes that I've got posted online, which they don't like. And when their lawyer handed me the file, she actually said, "I hope you're not going to sue us." Oh, no, I should never do that. February 13th. This is a week before my big arrest that led to 16 months of detainment. They knew Sherry was, quote, playing both sides. They demanded a psychiatric report from me 2 days before I got detained and they declared me dangerous. Well, normally, all the kids, look who's coming in the back door. That's what I told them to do. But actually, no, I didn't. I'm like, I got nothing to hide, so I gave them my psychiatric report. And what did it say? Despite already going through two arrests, losing his $90,000 a year job, blah, 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 he continues to be mentally stable and poses no harm to herself, to himself or others. Also in their records, they're aware of her $150,000 credit card scam, the recent $100,000 and the $50,000 6 months earlier. Motive, perhaps. And then April 25th, while I'm locked up, I'm only 3 months into my 16 months, she intends to move to Halifax later that year. She will leave the province later that year. NIVA, New Identity for Victims of Abuse. They got her an application, rules for application or for an applicant to be successful, you can't be a fraud artist. They knew she was a fraud artist and you must have full custody. They knew she didn't have custody. She never had custody. So then, I'm finally free. It's July of 2003, also in the records, which they lied about. They claimed they didn't have a record of it. They did because I gave it to the cops and the cops faxed it to them. And I can prove it because I got cops records with the fax, the date and time stamp. So they're lying on that too. That's obviously part of the lawsuit. Without corroboration of her evidence, it would be unsafe to accept her testimony. Pretty straightforward on that one. August 20th, 2003. And bear in mind, I still have no idea where my kids are. Haven't seen them since the day I was arrested, basically. Her lies were just silliness. I know I've hurt a lot of people. Silliness. To impersonate a doctor for 5 years is just silliness. And then, November 10th, she may move out of the province. November 28th, this is the best one. She's a chronic liar, her mental health is in question. She suffers from a pathology that is yet to be diagnosed. They knew she was nuts, and 2 days later, they shipped her off under an assumed name to Truro, Nova Scotia. it took me 5 years to get their records and find all this crap. So, and then I show up with police escort, I get my kids back, the drive back to Toronto, she was back before I was, because Psycho knows how to play the game, and it turned out, while I was locked up, and she claimed I kept finding her and she was relocating, no, I've got $17,000 of the tenants, that, or landlords, that she ripped off, and she kept on getting evicted. But she's such a scammer, the one, she filed a human rights violation claiming, and she's good, claiming that they're prejudiced against single mothers. And that bought her an extra 2 months in the place. And whether the court judgment's for $6,000 or $7,000 doesn't matter, because nobody ever gets paid. And bear in mind, all along, I was making accusations that Psycho was having an affair with a cop, which I knew, because while I'm locked up, I'm in contact with my neighbors, and they're like, well, why is the cop staying overnight at your house all the time? Let's just call it an internal investigation. So now Psycho turns out is in Nova Scotia. I get the kids back. While I drive back, and I was talking on the phone with Vern. Vern was very instrumental as far as helping me how to deal with stuff, because you're always stressed out. You don't know your rights. You don't know anything. So that helped me out. I get back. Psycho's in a $250 a night hotel for the next month. Airfare paid for, lawyers paid for by the abused woman industry, who's financed by, you guessed it, taxpayers. Going back to 2004, I also found out not only that she's having an affair with this dirty cop, but that when she got evicted from that residence, the landlord, who had an illegal rooming house, basically, he wouldn't go on the record. He admitted to me 20 to 30 bottles of hard liquor under the kitchen cabinet, which seemed like an awful lot for a non-drinker, so I reported that to Children's Aid Society, and the alleged poisoning, because another thing that Psycho did was this baby, she poisoned our baby. She predicted in writing that this baby will be sick for 8 months with the side effects of chemo and radiation in its bloodstream, because it wasn't until 2 years later that we fully realized she never had cancer. So we'll never know the truth. All we know, she made that baby really, really sick, and then after 8 months, just like she predicted, miraculous recovery. Very appropriate name for my daughter, Miracle. And I forgot this wonderful little guy. I wonder how fast I'd get arrested if I walked into court with him. The hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Because that's what the system, they just turn a blind eye to everything. And that's the charge with the CAS lawsuit right now. So I've got a wonderful 35-page statement of claim against the CAS that I filed, I think, in maybe 2008. And it's finally getting somewhere now, or maybe it was 2010. I don't know. All I know is I sued them. They're not very happy about it, because I also sued the president of the board of directors and the executive director, this idiot Patrick Lake. They claim they know nothing about anything. Well, that's called hearing no evil. Maybe they genuinely didn't know, but that part of their claim is they only know about serious cases. Well, last time I checked, if kids are kidnapped and there's a Canada-wide warrant for the kidnapper's arrest, isn't that serious and you should have known about it? But there was a technicality in the case that these two idiots could be off the hook. Once I realized that, I filed an amendment according to Rule 26.01. It says the court shall permit the amendment, not the court can think about it, and the court being the idiot judge. And that's what I think of most of them. But he refused to permit it, but he waited a week to issue his statement. But he left out Rule 26.01, which is pretty darn clear. And not only that, I should have known better than to sue the CES. They're wonderful and they do no evil. So the CES, for a two-hour presentation or court preparation against me, an unrepresented citizen, I'm just a lowly peon, it cost taxpayers $28,514. But then court costs have to be awarded against the loser, but the word reasonable is supposed to come in. So I've been unemployed for 5.5 years, but it's reasonable that I pay $10,000 in court costs. Never going to happen. I'm not an idiot. So you can't get blood from a stone. And I didn't bend over on that one either, because, surprise, I'm going to appeal it, which I've done to, it's not Supreme Court, but Appeals Court. To have one crooked judge doesn't surprise me. To have three judges or two out of three that are crooked at the appeal, I'm thinking it's going to be in my favor. And if it's not, so what? Give me another court judgment and another $10,000. I don't care. You're never going to get a dime out of me. But here's the beautiful part. If they're wrong, which they are, and the judge actually does the right thing this time on March 14th, cha-ching, cha-ching, thank you very much, $10,000 comes my way, and they actually have to pay it. So, and that's the one good thing about the system, because I've genuinely had a lot of out-of-pocket expenses. My legal fees are over $200,000 over the last 11 years. The good news is, when I found my kids in 2008, within 10 minutes of getting into court, there's a word called misandry, which is basically man-hating. That's what the system basically is. Men are just meal tickets. We're money. We are what keeps the system going. So this judge, within 10 minutes, committed to send those kids back. We'll overlook the child abduction because you're a woman. You cannot take children away from a mother. You can't put a woman in jail. Jails are only for men. And she might as well have said that. And Psycho stood up there and said, "Oh, Your Honor, I've built a new life. I've recently purchased a house. I owe $40,000 on it. I've got all these transcripts." And the judge, she didn't care to hear the truth. It's like, "Oh, well, that's a great story." So in the month that I had my kids, it was pretty good. My son, the first thing he said was that I knew you were out there. I always hoped you'd come and get us. But what was also interesting, he was young. He was like 3 years old when this dirty cop, Terry Jordan, was around. And he even said, "I didn't like him very much." What was interesting, in the next 3 weeks, while I've got the kids and Psycho's stirring up trouble, calling CES, so I've got the cops and CES on my door three more times, and I'm like, "Full custody, screw off." And they're like, "Can we come in?" I'm like, "No, you can't come in. Do you have a warrant?" "No, so get the hell out of here." So, and I'm not going to tolerate their crap anymore because I know my rights. And that's the key, is to know your rights. So, meanwhile, the landlord evicts Psycho. And I said at the time, she's going to get sloppy. She did. So I kept her busy in Toronto. She had X number of days to claim her belongings. Because she was so busy with legal crap in Toronto, she didn't get her stuff out of the house. The guy went through everything with a fine-tooth comb. For legal reasons, he couldn't tell me until months later, when my kids have already been sent back to the stable life that the judge claimed. And when I said, "Oh, Your Honor," because during this 3 weeks, we found out, oh, she owes $40,000. It's a bit over $40,000. It's not on a mortgage. She owes $43,000 in back rent. She had the landlord convinced she's in the witness protection program. Him, the teachers at school, her scar on her neck. Anybody pick up on my Russian accent? I'm actually a Russian mafia mobster. Because that's in court documents as well. So, and that's her story to everybody out in Nova Scotia. Where's the kid's father? Oh, he's in prison for 10 years for attempted murder. See, he tried to slit my throat. It's a great story. And once they all found out the truth, nobody did anything to change it. And that's that Einstein quote. The world is dangerous not because of the people that are evil, like Psycho, but because of the people that don't do anything about it. All the people that were supposed to help me, they turned a blind eye to it and wouldn't do anything. Well, there's 4 current investigations right now against various psychiatrists and stuff and counselors that they're finding out the hard way. I don't get mad, I get even. So ultimately, months later, one of the things that this guy found in the belongings were love letters and naked pictures exchanged between the dirty cop, Terry Jordan, and my wife. And he called me, telling me, "Oh, I really hate it." And I'm like, I was laughing. I just about hit the ceiling. I was like, that's the smoking gun I've been after all along. So what do you do with a smoking gun? You reveal the dirty suckers. So that turned into another full-page story of the Toronto Star. Wife's lies ruined his world, which is a great story. She faked cancer, took his kids and money, had him charged and had an affair with the officer, blah, 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 blah. And they referenced the earlier story from 10 years. That was a good story, but I like this one better. Full page in the Toronto Sun. I've lost everything, whatever. But the subheading, cop gets slap on wrist after sleeping with ex of man he jailed. So dirty Terry Jordan was revealed. And whether my lawsuit settlement with the cops was for $20,000 or $20 million, it doesn't matter. I don't care about the money. I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it to reveal the truth. My kids will one day read this. Cop gets slap on wrist. But the cops knew that the crap was going to hit the fan in advance. So they did, and I now know this is standard procedure. And I had somebody on the inside admit this. They promoted him. And the reason they promote him, they know the crap's going to hit the fan a few months down the road. So then their PR spin on it, oh, we're tough on dirty cops. And one of the quotes from a scumbag police chief who took early retirement, in my case, was definitely a factor. This is a very unfortunate situation, and that's had an impact on all of us as police officers. It's very upsetting and disappointing. The only thing we forgot was the end part. Very upsetting and disappointing that we got caught red-handed with our pants down. Literally. And even worse, these guys are all in it together. The film sticks together. Because Terry Jordan is buddies with scumbag Detective Mark Charlebois, who most of you know who he is without knowing who he is. He's the guy that's known on YouTube as the G20 goof. He's the idiot cop that threatened people, and one guy's standing there saying, what, I'm just standing here watching, and it's Canada, well, we got rights. And he's like, this isn't Canada anymore. And that is Detective Mark Charlebois. What a coincidence. That's the same scumbag, dirty cop that threatened to arrest me when I first got out of jail, and I went door to door canvassing, trying to find information to get my kids back, and he threatened to arrest me for doing that. So I didn't know who he was at the time, now I know. And then another buddy of theirs is the cop that was arrested in 2004 after a 2-year investigation and complaints by residents in a neighborhood right here in Newmarket, and they took down license plate numbers. There's a brothel running out of a residential home, so they finally arrest this scumbag cop, and then unfortunately it turned out all those license plates, or over 90% of them, traced back to York Regional Police officers. What a coincidence! So, guess what happened to those charges? Dirty Chief Armin LaBarge, who took early retirement, and his buddy, current Chief Eric Jalief, sweep those charges under the rug, make them disappear. And if anybody disputes it, all you need to do is Google corrupt York Regional Police. There's all sorts of stuff that'll come up on them, including the guy last year, the routine traffic check. They didn't like that the vehicle wasn't in his name, so after 45 minutes they let him go. But he had a broken arm, but nothing to do with them. Just a coincidence that while he's handing his driver's license, I guess his arm got twisted behind his back and broke. It's unbelievable what these guys do. The fact that he was Jewish, and maybe the cop had a swastika tattoo on his forearm in a Jewish community up here, do the math. So, and it's all on the internet. You can find all this stuff. It's unbelievable. So the CES is also, like Attila's pointed out, on average over 100 kids a year die while in CES care because they're taking them away from dangerous parents like me to give to paid foster parents that are killing them, whether they're starving them, beating them, whatever. And it's going on, they don't care. And another thing that CES doesn't know, and nobody knows, or I just told Attila, I still had to make ends meet. So in 2006, I wound up becoming an independent certified forensic collector, which is a nice way of saying I collect pee in a cup. So when CES accuses you of being a child abuser or whatever, I'm the one that comes into your home and tests the sample, and I can tell on the spot whether you're positive or negative. I had two different clients that were definitely negative. I report it to the CES worker. The very next morning, the CES worker goes to court, positive. Automatic, 30 days out of the house. That's automatic. Why would they lie? For starters, they're making money off of it, dragging the case on, and also because they didn't like the guys, because the guys were like me. They stood up for the rights. So then, the owner of my company finds out, and I'm not one to typically stay quiet, but I didn't have a choice much in that case, because this guy was a very good friend of a good friend of mine, and I didn't want to rock the boat socially. But the guy actually admitted to me he was in the process of, or he's partway through a custom-built 7,500 square foot house. That's a small church. The guy's making millions off of this scam of this whole drug thing with CES. And again, follow the money. Always follow the money. Wars, politics, religion, it's always about the money. Not, or maybe not always, but darn close to almost always. So one of the goals that I wanted people to be aware of, if you're ever in this situation, just realize it's a game. You have to play the game and realize what the rules are, because if you go in like me, blind-eyed like a deer in headlights, thinking that cops are good and Children's Aid Society is good and stuff, you won't know what hits you. So it's going to be very, very bad. And you need to be psychologically prepared. Like for me, to have a relationship with anybody is challenging because they don't like that I'm so committed to the cause of true justice or seeking out true justice. But in my case, my kids got given back to Psycho 3 years ago, and my rights, I wrote 12 letters of complaint saying, Your Honor, you threatened to take those kids away if she violated my 3 times a week phone calls. As soon as she was out of the courtroom, she violated that. Then nobody would do anything about it, and so then the judge took away all my rights. So basically, I got totally screwed in that case. So here, or recognize sort of what I've touched on. Basically, the government employees, my view, and I think the facts support this opinion, is that they're inherently lazy. They will seek out the path of least resistance. They will do as little as possible because to them it's just a paycheck. It's just a job. They really don't give a rat's ass about doing the right thing. And that's the problem. Very few people believe in doing the right thing. And like Attila said, be organized. Get copies. And this is a problem I've got right now in court is I've got emails that I sent to the CES directors, but I don't have the copy of the actual proof that I sent it. So this is going to become an issue. The good news is they're going to have to disprove they didn't get it. So we'll get that out of their email service. So get copies of your sent emails, voice recordings, and whenever possible have voice recordings. Get everything in writing. Because verbally, these guys will lie through their teeth. Another thing, if you do like I do, self-representation as much as possible, it's called death by a thousand cuts. Realize the game they're playing, they're trying to break you financially. Well, guess what? When you're broke, Chris, you can file all the crap you want in court for free. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So, because that's how I got a free divorce. That's how I get free everything, because I have no money. So I'm like, and I kid you not, my ex-girlfriend, a parting gift at the end of our relationship, I think, or she had money. Maybe she was fearful that I would come after it. She actually took me to Harry Rosen, custom-made suit, ties, and gave me a few thousand bucks to keep me on my feet. I'm like, thank you, Kristen. There are some good people out there, but she couldn't cope with the fact that my life revolved around seeking out justice, because I don't care about a job. I'll never have a job again. Death by a thousand cuts. Why would I want to pay taxes to a system that screwed me so badly? Do you know how much tax you pay on $340,000 in 1 year? And yet, the whole system screwed me. So death by a thousand cuts is basically send the idiots that you're dealing with, send them all sorts of notices. They're legally obligated to respond, whether it's the police, CS, whoever you're dealing with. And every time you do that, cha-ching, cha-ching, whoever, or somebody's getting the bill for that. And at some point in time, they realize, wow, this is costing a lot of money. So if it's in a custody dispute, whatever, do that. If you're the person making the allegations against you is trying stuff like that, and unfortunately, is there a book over in the back counter, and it's a really good one called Divorce Poison. Oh, actually, it's here. Underneath. This is an unbelievable book. And this guy's probably the foremost expert in North America on parental alienation syndrome. Unfortunately, it didn't help me, but simply because I'm up against unbelievable systemic bias. It is what it is, and I'm coping. And ultimately, I guess I've come to the conclusion there was nothing I could do, because when I look at what hit me with the CS, the police, it wasn't just them. It's a perfect storm. It's the system. Psycho, the whole abused woman industry, and that's what it is. It's a business. The police, the York CS, the Office of the Children's Lawyer, they knew of everything way back in 2002. It's all in their files, which I also have a copy of. And then they sought to cover their butt. Even in 2009, my own lawyer, who was funded by a benefactor, came right out and said, it's all about covering your ass all the time. That's all it is, the legal system. And cha-ching, cha-ching, make sure that you're on the meter at $450 an hour. And if you do the math, $450 an hour based on a 40-hour work week is $900,000 a year. So the only people I know that genuinely would think they're worth that, because even professional athletes will admit they're not worth $1 million. But a lawyer actually thinks they are worth $1 million a year. You must be a narcissistic psychopath to think you're actually worth that. And so when I say that there's a disproportionate amount of society psychopaths that wind up as lawyers or working for CS, yes, and also psychiatrists, because psychiatrists, who wants to be a psychiatrist and listen to crap like that? Oh, these were the ones that were, they had screwed up childhoods themselves, and that's what inspires them to get into crap like that. And so right now I've got two different psychiatrists under investigation, or one actually, he's not under investigation. Next week he's going to be surprised to realize that he's going to be in civil court. I'm going to put the dirt on him all over the internet, because he's already been found guilty on all charges. Because in 2009, when he coulda, shoulda given me my kids back, he had the naked pictures, the love letters between the dirty cop and psycho. He had all this information. He knew she was a sexual deviant. And he actually wrote in the report that, oh, well, it's a possible, plausible reason for her behavior, but he didn't get into details of impersonating a doctor and all that. He basically just sloughed it all off in a one-page report saying, oh, because she operated out of fear. Well, hang on a second. How can she operate out of fear when she's got this system protecting her and their own records acknowledge, I didn't know where she was for 6.5 years, so it's all a scam. And so I reported him to the College of Physician Surgeons of Ontario. He was found guilty of all charges, and it was determined that he never read the case file. And so what I verbally told him in the appointment, he just disregarded, fully disregarded. And one of the accusations, which is going to be kind of funny, and even though he's found guilty, normal when you're found guilty, if there's 10,000 doctors in Ontario, they all get the email report of here's the dirty scum amongst us, and his name is also posted up on the website so that he's publicly humiliated. Basically the old school tarred and feathered. None of that happened in this case. And when I complained to the CPSO, they claimed his punishment was harsh. No, it wasn't. He got called up before a panel of three stooges, and they said, you shouldn't have done that. And he's like, I'm sorry. Puts his tail between his legs and walks out thinking he's a free man. Well, he's not a free man, because I'm assuming next week one of the allegations is going to be that he realized that she's a sexual deviant. And I don't know if anybody knows that story about Bill Clinton and the cigar thing. Well, I'm going to suggest that something similar happened in this guy's office, because what he knew in advance what she'll do to get things her way. And what in the world would possess him to write the report he did? And that's just one of 45 pages of statement of claim that he's going to be. And I'm going to cost him more money in legal fees, and I can cost him a lot because I know how to do the death by a thousand cuts. It's going to cost him more money than if he just plops down and gives me 100 grand, whatever. I don't care. It's out of principle. I want him to pay for what he did and pay with money. So, and on my website, on the home page, I've got all the stuff, Dr. Clive Chamberlain, and a psychiatrist who later diagnosed me with a proper assessment, which is chronic situational, which is an operative word, post-traumatic stress disorder. Gee, you think? With all the crap that I went through? And meanwhile, the other guy based his full assessment of me on a 45-minute appointment, which he admitted I complained and said, that's not enough time, and he said, yes, it is. Well, they agreed, no, it's not. So. But ultimately, psychiatrists, the Salvation Army knew Psycho was what she was up to. They did nothing. Numerous charities that she ripped off, including one woman who died. Psycho got her hair cut and got cash donations for this woman. The woman died knowing that Psycho had stolen all those donations. Psycho has also been on the board of directors of charities that she's ripped off, cash donations and stuff. Nobody does anything, and that's the problem with society. Until people start standing up for themselves and expose the stupidity and the corruption that's out there, not much is going to change. Criminal Injuries Compensation Board, here's one that Attila was dumbfounded by. Even though I've been victimized to an unbelievable extent, when you apply to the Criminal Injuries Compensation Board, and we've got all this documentation, including the medical reports of injuries sustained while I was locked up from getting jumped and crap like that, that doesn't count as injuries, apparently. But if you were a dirty cop, or just any cop, and you hurt your pinky in the line of duty, believe it or not, that's worth $50,000. Because all you have to do is say, well, that pinky, me and my wife really enjoy gardening, and now it's taken away the intrinsic satisfaction that we derive from gardening. Okay, dirty cop, you can have your $50,000. I kid you not. Go to the website. It's all there. And also, Criminal Injuries Compensation Board refused to pay out people whose children were murdered. Because unless you personally witnessed the murder, you don't get paid. Unbelievable. And who finances Criminal Injuries Compensation Board? Of course, the taxpayers. It's yet another government organization. Victim Services, as an example, supposedly has no correlation, no relationship whatsoever with York Region Police. It took me about 5 years to figure out, or because they don't have addresses other than box numbers, they're actually located inside the York Regional Police stations. It's unbelievable. And the Office of the Independent Review on Police Departments, which is the new name for, used to be OCOPS, Ontario Civilian Commission on Police Services, BS. They're not overlooking police services. They're turning a blind eye to it like everybody else because they're all in on it. Oh, and some interesting fodder. Dirty cop Terry Jordan, who likes to get it on with supposed domestic violence victims. Well, you've got coworkers that hate you. They hate you enough to email me at my website and tell me who else you're grooming, and who you got pregnant in your own office, and that within the office you are known as Mr. and Mistress while your wife works in a different department. So the good news is your kids now hate you and you're divorced, because once my stories hit the media, you were exposed for the dirty pig that you are. So that's where karma, if you stick with things, it might take years, but karma sooner or later does come around to some of these people. Because in my case, my kids, I genuinely, officially don't know where they are, have no relationship, no contact, and I have to hope and pray that someday they look me up and have the wherewithal to say, wow, everything he told us in 2008, or, and I didn't tell him much, I just said, your mom said a lot of things that aren't true, and when she told the court, Warren, this is how she could distort the truth, tell the judge, oh, I never said anything bad about him, which was a lie. Then I sat down and showed pictures. Well, she did show pictures, but when she got evicted, we got all these pictures. Every single one had my face cut out of them. So my 1 and 2 year old kids, when they were abducted, wouldn't have even known what I looked like until the day I recovered them when they were 7 and 8. Unbelievable. But the key is, if you stick with it, use the resources available through Vern's website, through Attila, and unfortunately our guest speaker, Harry Capito, I work extensively with him. He's a guy that got screwed by the system. He's a former lawyer. 23 years ago they disbarred him because, in his own admission, they didn't like him because he's a Polish socialist Jew with an attitude. I'm not kidding. And when they disbarred him, they claimed that he ripped off legal aid for $150,000. And now the Law Society is so corrupt that they took over their own competition, which are the paralegals. And Harry's been a paralegal for 23 years, so now they're trying to claim that he's not of good character. They can't find any real dirt on him, so they claim he's not of good character. They spent tens of thousands of dollars on a private investigator, and Harry's been in hearings for about a year now. And he kept the dirty cop, in this case, up on the stand that was investigating for 8 days, I think it was. And he got the cop to admit that he never went in.
26 days is set aside for that.
It's unbelievable how long it's dragging on. But the cop admitted right up front that, no, he never went in with just go and investigate and see what you find. He said, we only want to see dirt on this guy. Well, the guy admitted in all of his months of investigation, he couldn't find any dirt. And not only did he not find dirt, he found out that Harry never ripped off legal aid. Legal aid tried to rip Harry off for $150,000. Harry threatened to sue them, got his $150,000, and like they had to admit before this panel of idiots, would they really give him the $150,000 if they knew it was a scam? No. And if they gave it to him and realized it was a scam, wouldn't they threaten to get it back? Yeah. None of that happened. There was it's all about money, because they don't like that Harry stands up to them and their corruption. And meanwhile, at the same time, they just appointed a new lawyer who's of good character. And this woman of good character is a whore. She's a hooker for the past 15 years. Who went back to school to become a lawyer, fell off the wagon a couple times with drug and substance abuse and going back to hooking, and she's currently under investigation in five or six different fraud cases, but she's of good character because she's smart enough to go up and say, oh yes, I will bow and worship you and do anything you say, and I'll lie when I need to. That's what the Law Society is all about, so, and the legal profession. So if you can find anybody that will help you in any way, shape, and form, I got the CS records and police records without legal representation. The next year, my legal fees were $90,000. I had a benefactor that cashed in RSPs against my will, and I'm like, don't do it, and lawyers aren't worth it. $90,000 later, what do we have? Still no children, and basically lost the case. So the system isn't what we're led to believe, as you've heard enough stories now, and it is what it is. And hope the heck that you never ever get caught up in it, but once you do, just try and minimize the damage and do what you have to do, and think long term, because if you think short term, it'll drive you bananas. Because I've been, like I said, dragging on for 11 years now, and my kids are 11 and 12 now, and at what age will they hopefully look me up? My website is there so that they can look me up, because I can't win. If I went to a custody trial, it would have cost me $20,000 for psychiatric assessments for kids I don't even know where they are, and then I would have to ship them to the States for something called deprogramming. It's literally called deprogramming. And if I got lucky, I might get a judge that would remove Psycho for 3 months. After 3 months, Psycho would be right back in the picture, calling the cops, calling the CS, and I'd be rearrested. So I can't win no matter what. And my daughter, the 11-year-old, is vicious. She's like biting, punching, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And I couldn't win because she was too young to understand. Whereas my son, even though he was only a year and a half older, he knew what was going on, but he was powerless to do it because he... 8, 9 years old. He's a little mama's boy. So the last time I saw him, I just said, I'm sorry for all the stuff, but you know, your mom's done some really bad things. I love you. I don't know if I'll ever see you again. And unfortunately, I have to hope that someday when they're a little older, they'll look me up and they'll respect the fact that I stood up to my bullying oppressor. And the CES is going to realize that whether the president and the executive director are personally held liable or not, I'm still going to win the case. Because, like I told the lawyer, I said, I have the truth and the proof of wrongdoing. And like she told me, yeah, we'll see how far that gets you in court. Sad but true. And when I walked into the courtroom and said, well, Your Honor, she just said this to me, I was told to zip it. Unless it's in an affidavit, they won't accept it. And I'm thinking, should have had my recorder turned on at the time. But it is what it is. The system is all about money. It's absolutely corrupt. It is what it is, and it's not going to change overnight. But the Ontario Ombudsman knows how corrupt it is, and he's working hard to try. He's spoken out publicly saying it needs massive restructuring because it's a $1.5 billion a year scam to the tax dollars. And until it's restructured, nothing's ever going to change, and nothing's going to change until people continue, like me, Chris, the people expose these guys, use your media connections, if you've got them, through lawyers and stuff, and if nothing else, you can create a website like I did for free, and ultimately it got spruced up a bit by a guy who saw my case and was outraged, and then he spent hundreds of hours doing all sorts of upgrades to it, and then out of the goodness of his heart, he's bragging that he makes $300,000 a year, blah, 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 blah. And then 6 months later, he comes to me saying he expects me to work for him for free to pay that back. I'm like, no. That was something you offered to do of your own volition. I didn't ask for it. I accepted it as the gracious gift it was. And no, I've got other stuff to do with my time other than trying to sell whatever crap they're trying to sell. The guy's a psychopath. Jeez, what a surprise. And I'm not kidding. And that, unfortunately, is my sad story. The good news is I didn't lose my sanity. I'm not suicidal, never was, never will be. And if I ever wind up dead, which wouldn't surprise me, well, we're all going to die, but if I die, please do something to have it investigated because it wasn't of my own volition. Somebody was probably behind it. So is there anything I forgot that anybody knows about my story that I should have covered?
I have a question about how you got those records. That motion that you put into court to get those records, is that posted to your website?
No, but a lot of it, and you know how the system is, it's totally random. You can be in court with 20 different judges and 19 don't care, one does. I got some woman that, she was about 30 years past mandatory retirement. I'm not kidding, she was really old. But she actually cared. And the court order she wrote was, I am deeply distressed. Because I just went in and said, I have no idea where my kids are for the last 6.5 years. I've got the evidence of wrongdoing. I've got the trial transcripts where she's a fraud artist, impersonated a doctor, and all this stuff. And that CS had been uncooperative. Oh, and yeah, to give you an idea, the scumbags up here, York Region Police, and how deep they are in with the York Region Attorney General's office and the courthouse, for 3 years I wasn't allowed in the courtroom. I had to file documents, put it in, and they call it a basket case. No other court does it like that. And basically the judge sits in his chambers while he's having a beer with the scumbag prosecuting attorney that claims I'm one of the top 5 most dangerous violent offenders, and they're like, oh, that's that major punk. Throw it in the garbage, reject it. And the reason they call it a basket case, I came to the conclusion, because that's what they're trying to turn you into. So then I finally got smart. If you're getting screwed around by a jurisdiction, consider doing what I did. I had moved out of the jurisdiction. I switched everything. I applied. They didn't want to see me in court here anymore. They allowed me to transfer the documents or the whole file to Toronto. As soon as I did, that's how immediately I got cooperation within a couple months. I had the court order because York Region would not cooperate because they didn't like that I'm making accusations against their dirty cops and their dirty CS. Whereas in Toronto, people talk about Toronto being corrupt. Not compared to York Region. So
yeah, but
it boils down to one judge. It's their mood.
Didn't you have to have a reason, like, for example, you wanted to obtain the records in order to pursue a lawsuit?
No, definitely not.
You didn't have to.
They wouldn't have given it to me then. Everything is under the same lie that they do. The lies, and I actually forgot to mention that. It's always the biggest lie of all, children's best interests. Who can play that game? So, children's best interest. Children need to know their father. So
that was your objective.
Yeah, everything is about the kids. It's all about the kids. That's the lie, and they're going to stick to it. So, learn to play by their game. It's in the children's best interest to know that their father's out there and he loves them so much.
And that was heard in the family court.
Yes. And the family court gave me the court orders, and then I took them to the police and the CS, and they had no choice because if you're not going to comply with a court order, they didn't cooperate with the criminal, the Canada-wide warrant for arrest and stuff, which is a whole other story because the dirty cops in Truro, Nova Scotia are also in on it. But there are certain people like Sergeant Rob Hearn that are uncooperative with me because he's buddies with Psycho and his kid plays in the same soccer team as one of my kids, that sort of thing. But they know. Like, this was planned for a year and a half to ship these kids from here to Nova Scotia because another thing that was in the file. Transition House Association of Nova Scotia, and Psycho was living in a transition house in Jackson Point, just up here, and went from there to one in Truro. They're all interconnected, and I'm lucky I actually did find my kids because there's an entire network, an underground network of abused women that they hate, man. They will do anything to hide kids. So, and in this case, I got lucky with a good judge. Because other judges didn't care.
And the records motion, the York Police and the York CAS put in answers, and they objected to you being provided with the records?
Yes. So the scumbag York Region Police actually forced me to pay about $6,000 to hire a lawyer. They refused to give the file over to me because, I'm so dangerous. So they've got the address, but they won't give it to me because I'm dangerous. So the address can only be given to my lawyer. Well, gee, don't you think that I'm going to get it from my own lawyer? That's the game they play. Remember I said the death by 1,000 cuts? It's a two-way street. They're trying to break me, and I'm not trying to break them, but I'm trying to cost them as much as possible. So in this case, they had no choice. They had to turn it over, but the one thing I got them to admit under oath in court, no, Your Honor, there is no safety issue. But that's too late because that's after I've already paid $6,000. It's all just a game, you know that. But it really boils down to the judge because you can get idiot judges. Like when I said to the judge that gave my kids back, I'm like, Psycho lost her job because she's a fraud artist. 5 years as a doctor, impersonating a doctor in Ontario, another 5 years impersonating a physiotherapist. I blew her cover. So no job, no house because she got evicted. And, at least you got the kids going to the same school, same teacher, so okay, that's it. Oh, sorry, no, the school is closing down. You're now going to be bused to a super school. No job, no house, no school. How is that stable, Your Honor? She refused to answer, banged her gavel, and walked out. And so then when I had the audacity to post itch with an extra B in there, the Nancy Backhouse, Judge Nancy Backhouse on my website, and make disparaging comments that are all true. Otherwise, if they weren't true, why doesn't she come after me and threaten me with defamation? And some scumbag lawyer contacted me, and said, you can never make disparaging comments about a judge, blah, blah, blah. You're in their world, in their courtrooms, blah, blah, blah. And I said, that's right. When I'm behind the closed doors of their scumbag courtrooms and stuff, they can screw me around as much as they want. Can't do that on the internet. Thank you very much for your time.
Do you think that the CAS removed documents from the file that they
No, no. If you saw it, it's like yay thick, and maybe they genuinely thought I wouldn't be smart enough to read through, and maybe they didn't realize that I can actually interpret hieroglyphics, which scumbag Walter Sienko, who doesn't have the guts to ever meet me face to face, he wrote a bunch of this stuff, and his handwriting, and it's kind of funny because I'm rather meticulous, reasonably articulate, I'm a really good speller. So, and I know how to write S-I-C in brackets, so for all your misspellings, I'll make you look like an idiot in the court documents because there's a bazillion S-I-C's, which is the technical way of saying you can't spell. So I'm just having fun with idiot Walter Sienko, who was one of the co-defendants in the lawsuit, and Judge Judy, I call her. Judge Judy... I forget her name, but she's the woman that threatened me that I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you don't see your kids for a long time. That was on February 18th, 2002. When I sued her, she actually, for 6 years, she has told me, oh, she's no longer with us. Well, I found out, yes, she is. She didn't like the truth coming out on the internet with her name in there, Judy Edmondson, that's it. So she emailed me from Huron CAS, and she tried to post crap on my website saying, quote, this is all just false. Well, I'm not stupid enough to let you post stuff on my website unless I authorize it. So, and now this is in court documents as well, that here's a woman who's a defendant in the lawsuit with overwhelming criminal evidence against her for colluding or conspiring to kidnap my kids, because you can't take the kids over the provincial border unless you have custody. Psycho never had custody. They knew about that. So. A lot of it boils down to persistence and just not taking no for an answer. Like, I'm a really sore loser. So, and I got screwed in this, and no amount of money will ever make up. Like, life is short. We live to be 70, 80 if we're lucky. And I've spent how many years of my life, and this is not over. It's long from over. And then I'm going to have screwed up kids somewhere down the road, potentially. It's not a life I ever would have envisioned, but it is what it is. And like the Bible says, the Lord will only give you burdens to which you can stand up and bear. And in my case, I've always said, because I'm stronger mentally than most people, I get more than my share of crap.
Do you see an Ontario, Nova Scotia connection?
Absolutely.
The executive director at London now, which was, she actually helped implement the child welfare in Nova Scotia. She was a politician there. She's now the executive director in London, getting paid $190,000. And my son, the dealings they had in Nova Scotia is with Ann Blanford, who's with Ontario.
But
I see a lot of things, like a lot of children, foster children are sent to Nova Scotia, and you say your family was relocated there.
Well, that's
so I see that there's a really strong Nova
Scotia. Oh yeah, there's this whole underground. Oh, for sure, there's this whole underground. It's just like the 30 years ago when you've got pedophile school teachers and stuff. All they did was move them to a different school board, a different district.
That's right.
They knew what was going on, and instead of doing what they should have done, and the same thing is doing with CS because they're making so much money. The more paperwork, and the legal term for the courthouse, if you spend some time there, off-the-record term is the house built of paper. Because that's all it is. It's just paper, paper, more paper. If you saw we're only 2 court appearances in on my CS lawsuit, and if you stack the documents for 2 court appearances, there's that much crap. And for my appeal, everything that we already had, we had to do in quadruple, because 1 copy for each of the judges, 5. And even though the CS already has a record of everything, we've got to create another copy of everything and give it to them again. Unbelievable. And then a 5th copy for the courthouse. And these guys, they're making money off it. Why would they want to change anything? They don't have any special skills or talents. So it's true. And a lot of them, these social workers, what are their backgrounds that inspire them to become social workers in the first place? They were screwed up as kids or from like a lot of them, they put the fun in dysfunctional. So, but it's guys like me that get labeled as the bad guy simply because I have the audacity to stand up and tell the truth. And there's other stuff in my personal life that's been held because of my view on stuff, but my view is based on facts. And if you don't like the facts, well, too bad. So I can sleep at night, and I'm not a psychopath. So, because when I said in court, how does she sleep at night? She should sleep with one eye open. Judge didn't like that. Go figure. But that's the same judge. Do I have my business cards here? Yes, sir.
Quick question. Your case on the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Again, is that open to the public?
Oh, for sure. Okay. So I can get the date and time and location. And you know Harry well. So
yeah.
The Joe is going to be representing me that day because it's purely technical. So. Because they're arguing that executive directors and presidents of the board of directors cannot be held legally liable. And this is where this case law crap comes in, because all you have to do, and I don't have the resources, they do. So they can pay their guys, they can waste tens of thousands of dollars going through courthouses across the country to find one idiot judge who overruled 150 years of constitutional law with case law. And if they can find that case and I can't, so they find a case that says, oh, well, see, they can't be held liable. Conversely, I need to be able to find one, two, or a handful of cases that show where they can be held liable. And I do have that because Harry's got it. So Joe will be representing it because technically it's way, way beyond me. So, and it should be fun. And my guess is the judge will, or the panel, they're going to reserve their judgment. But I fully expect, and like Harry said, they have to cut me a check if they lose. And if I lose, I don't care, because you can't get blood out of a stone, because I'm out of the country a lot now. I hate this country. I hate the disgusting system. But it's the same everywhere. Has anybody here ever heard of Sheriff Joe? You get those emails. He's the guy that he's tough on crime and he makes people live in Tent City in the desert in Arizona. Sheriff Joe is in my territory where I spend most of my time now. And Sheriff Joe is the dirtiest mother you would ever... He makes him wear pink jumpsuits. To give you an idea, his top two deputies both just got arrested last year by the FBI, and the FBI came right out and said, we've been after this guy for 5 years. We'll get him sooner or later. He is so dirty. People, it's their egos. They genuinely, and to give you an idea on psychopaths and at what point do they stop? They don't. There's a case that was on one of those crime show things a couple of years ago, and people showed up at this woman's house. Say she's 73 years old. She's got five ex-husbands that have all gone missing. Cops showed up at her house. Oh, we got a warrant here to dig in your backyard. Oh, what are you digging for? Bodies, ma'am. Oh, really? Well, I noticed there's two of you, but you only have one shovel. Would you like an extra shovel? Would you like an extra shovel? She actually said that, gave them a second shovel. And gee, what do you think they dug up in the backyard? They're called bodies. She genuinely thought she could talk her way out of it. And that's what psycho is, or my psycho. They know they're guilty of bad behavior and crimes and stuff, but they just don't think they'll ever be held accountable because they are that good at lying and spinning a yarn. And it worked on me for years and years. I paid for 4 years of med school. To this day, I don't know what she was doing for 4 years, because I now know, and I have it in writing from one of her sisters, she crushed her parents' retirement plan on a 4-year undergrad degree in Newfoundland before I even knew her. She never graduated from that one either. She has a high school education. She's very smart, though. She's got 8 years of university. She was going there. We don't know what she was doing while she was there, but it's crazy. But in my case, I'd love to humiliate the CS as much as possible, because they are scumbags. And the whole thing, they claim, well, we didn't know. Well, it's not that they didn't know. It's their failure to know. They should have known. Because cases like mine are not aberrations. They happen every day. Why are over 100 kids a year dying in foster care? Like the one on Stony Creek last year. You know about that one, Vern, do you not? Where the scumbag woman, CS, showed up at the house in the morning and supposedly saw all the children, everything's cool, no problem. And that afternoon, there's a 911 call. The police officer who showed up said at the front door, he just about passed out. The smell was so bad, it smelled like somebody had died. And in the basement, there was a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, foster kids. Meanwhile, the real kids, or the birth children, got to live in the upstairs. The foster kids were in a room with no mattress, no anything, living in a room with crap and urine all over, and basically being starved to death, they had clawed their way through the drywall to find food. And instead, they found a phone. The two-year-old called 911. Not the four-year-old, the two-year-old. And that scumbag from CS actually had the audacity to say that she never saw anything unusual in the house that day. And like the cop has said, even if you couldn't see, you could smell. So you can...
Well, she had a cold.
Yeah. Oh, had a cold, so that's why she couldn't smell. Give me a break. There are a bunch of scumbag liars. And if you don't like them calling you a scumbag, sue me. I have no money. You can't get anything out of me. So I don't care. So it's true. As long as people continue to seek out accountability, sooner or later, something's going to happen and we'll get some change. But it's really disturbing. The system is all about money. And we are just pawns in their game. And you have to do what you have to do and don't utter any death threats. And somebody made the comment, I would have been better off if I had have harmed her, killed her, I'd be out by now. And I'm thinking, you're probably right. So
tell us about the time when you showed up at the police station in the summertime. With your ski pants.
Oh, yeah, this is a funny story because I knew the game so well by this point in time. So the time that I'm very particular in how I say things. So I go in to the one judge, but prior to this, I actually tried to get Psycho charged with kidnapping, and the judge refused to file it because, get this, I hadn't served the other party. I'm like, hang on, the other party is a kidnapper. Kidnappers don't leave forwarding addresses. But it was dismissed on that. So then I tried it again in a different courthouse here in Newmarket, and the Justice of the Peace refused to accept it. Oh, and bear in mind, Justice of the Peace, scumbags that they are political appointees, which is a nice way of saying, I don't need to have any education whatsoever, no background schooling I don't need to learn the law, but if I got a buddy in a high place, he can appoint me $147,000 a year to start to be a Justice of the Peace. Well, and I had the misfortune of having one of these idiots who refused to allow the charges. So then I made a comment, which I don't regret, saying, I would have been better off if I killed her 3 years ago because it would have served my 2 years less a day for temporary insanity and I'd be out. So he warned me that was uttering a death threat and that was on tape. And I said, that's not uttering a death threat. Let's make sure your recording device is working and I'll repeat myself for clarification, which I did. Then he called the cops to have me arrested and they said, we're bringing you in. I'm like, okay, come and get you. Come and get me. And he's like, no, turn yourself in. I'm like, no. I said, come and get me because I know my rights. And it was a beautiful July day, and so I know the game. So I wound up going to Kmart, which normally you wouldn't see in Kmart, but I bought a fleece-lined tracksuit, which I thought was pretty cool. And you're very curious why I would buy a fleece-lined tracksuit when it's 90 degrees outside. I know the game, because one other time they arrested me in the middle of summer, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt, they put me on a metal bench and cranked up the air conditioning all night. Refused to give me a pillow because the premise, or sorry, not a pillow, a blanket, because apparently somebody hung themselves many, many years ago, and so no, by law, nobody gets blanket anymore for when you're held in a police cell. So in this case, I buy a fleece-lined tracksuit and turn up, and by that same logic, bear in mind, and in my book that I wrote, Crime Pays, that someday hopefully I'll get turned into a made-for-TV movie, I actually wrote about this, by that same logic, if some guy had an extraordinarily long appendage, sexual appendage, and he actually choked himself or hung himself using his own instrument, does that mean you take everybody's away? But at this same time, it's true. Anything's possible. But at the same time, that's when they had that whole pit bull thing 7 years ago. A pit bull killed somebody, so now they've banned pit bulls in Ontario. I talked about the stupidity and the politics of that. And now, just in the last week, that's been overruled because pit bulls don't kill people. Idiots kill people because they train their pit bulls to be violent. But you can train any dog to be violent. But anyway, in this case, so I wind up with a fleece-lined tracksuit. I go in to the police station. I agree that it's a nice day. I'll turn myself in. You don't know where I am, so you play by my rules. Here's the rules of the game. I'll turn myself in at 6 o'clock at the end of the day. Good enough? And he's like, good enough, because what could he do? He couldn't find me. So I turned myself in, and the standard routine, which is kind of funny, was the take away your shoelaces. I'm like, don't have any, but I should have had laces, they're gone. They're like, give me the string out of your pants. I'm like, pull up my shirt, don't have a drawstring. Why the hell not? I'm like, done this before, can you tell? So it was just a game, and then they didn't crank up the air conditioning. And another funny story, which was really, or so there are some funny things along the way. After the fourth arrest, that was the one where the cops actually knew I was getting screwed. They had the transcripts, so they're reading all the stuff from the judge about Psycho and all the crap that she'd done, and they're like, holy crap. So they told the other cops at the police station, quote, take it easy on Major, he's got himself a Black Widow. I didn't know what a Black Widow was, but I figured it out really fast. So then we're doing the fingerprinting and stuff, and I had some the young recruits, say they're like 24 or 25, and we're doing the fingerprinting, and part of the whole thing is the any unusual markings, or so basically if you've got a tattoo that says mom or whatever, you need to tell them so that they'll be able to identify somewhere down the road. So and when they asked anything unusual or whatever, and I said, yes, just an extraordinarily long, whatever, large, whatever, for such a wee little guy. So they thought that was kind of funny, so we had a good chuckle over that for about 20 minutes. So some cops actually do have a sense of humor and whatever, but most do not. And my view on them, which I get into in the book, they're the type of guys I hated when I was a kid, because even in high school, grade 9, I was 84 pounds. The one thing I always had going for me was I was smart. Unfortunately, when you're that small, there's only so much you can do. Big guys, I was always of the view, big and dumb. Well, you give a big and dumb guy a gun and a badge, he just became dangerous. Because these guys, they don't have a lot of logic in their thinking. They're just bullies. Like when they ask you a question, you're not allowed to say, well, in question, because they think that they are the omnipotent and that they are beyond reproach, that you can't. How dare you? They're God. In their own eyes, they are. They genuinely think that way. So it's just, screw their heads. I enjoy doing that. And going through the drive-thru with the cops that knew I was getting screwed around McDonald's, so we ordered a Hamburglar meal for me. It's true. It was pretty funny. I tried to make light of as best I could his situation. One of the guys when I was locked up, he's serving 25 years, no parole right now. He's a famous guy in 2002, Orangeville, the murder capital of Canada that year. He's the guy that ran over his wife with about 50 witnesses in the Walmart parking lot, and then wasn't sure she was dead, so he backed up over again. And then he drove, I think it was Thunder Bay, and they finally caught him a day or two later or whatever, and he came in, he wound up, we knew he was coming in because the guards tell us who's coming in or whatever. And so being the smart ass that I sometimes am, so me and my cellmate do up a thing. Anybody ever see those bumper stickers, 1-800, or how's my driving call, 1-800, eat crap, sort of thing. So we did up one of those to put over his cell door, and then we actually thought about it. We thought, this guy's got a bit of an anger management issue by the sounds of it, so maybe not. So, and he actually turned out to be a really good friend and protector of mine in jail. He's a big guy, but he got the crap kicked out of him. Another guy I was locked up with from Orangeville that year was Jimmy. He's the guy, another murder in Orangeville, but he got caught with the woman's head bungee strapped in a box on the back of his motorcycle at the DVP in 401. And I kid you not, I don't think he did it. His brother, Jimmy was a gangster wannabe, or a white guy where his brother's the biker and stuff, and so to be cool, I think he took the heat for his brother. But that's pretty cool. Imagine a head in a box. It's like, that's the type of stuff you don't realize actually goes on in Toronto. And I was in with a cellmate. This is a guy that, was it 7 days or 10 days, he didn't sleep. And yes, drugs can keep you awake for that long. And he thought it was really cool, because I'd read about him, but he never ever got caught. Going like 120 miles an hour through city streets, red light because he's on whatever drugs and stuff. And police called off the chase because it was too dangerous, but they ultimately got him on something else. But they didn't know the other stuff. And some of the guys I was locked up with, it's insane. So it's not a life I would have envisioned, but it is what it is. So on March 14th, though, yeah, do you know who Joe is? the lawyer that Harry works with.
Which court is it?
290 or 393 or 361, whatever it is. So yeah, we bored everybody to tears. We're running out.
It's starting to snow, Dan, and there's a lot of people.
That's okay. I'm done a while ago.
So this is just if we all disappear, and you're the only one standing, you'll go watch.
Oh, it's just for the camera.
Oh, that's coming with us. Yeah.
Oh no, this is this is live on CBC, isn't it? No, we're done.
Maybe CCW, but not CBC.
What's that, country western?
Oh,
okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I thank everybody for coming out tonight. I know the road conditions have been bad in many areas. And I think one thing that we need to continue to do is to teach others to fight for their rights. And we can never, ever, never give up. They count on that, and we cannot let them succeed. Thank you very much. Drive safely.
Thank you. How far from here to Sector? Like 2.5 hours, 3 hours? I haven't been up there.
It's
about
That ends a live feed. Thanks for watching.